Well, praise the Lord. I don't sing much anymore. In fact, the last time I sang was the last time I was here. And I oversee the music department at Hiles Anderson, but I have a lot of other people that do all the singing, and so I just get to sit back and let them do all the work. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, preacher. And what an honor it is, again, as I said Sunday, to stand behind this pulpit. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here and that the Lord allowed us to come down and spend a few days at home. And I wish we were going to be here for the Fall Festival on Friday night. And my son was leaning over to me, man, we're going to leave just before it starts. And I remember the old days of the Fall Festivals in the gym. And for a while, those two words became cuss words around here. Fall Festival, when we got mad, we would just say, Fall Festival. And some of you old timers remember that. And I was reminiscing with a couple of our classmates Saturday at our 25th reunion that one year of the Fall Festival, we were grilling hot dogs for our class's booth in the gym, and none of us knew. We had no business running a grill. We didn't have any idea what we were doing, and burnt more hot dogs than we sold, and we didn't know what to do with them, so we threw them up on the roof of the gym, and they're probably still there. I don't know, but I like this chili cook-off idea, and I don't know. Brother Parsons sounds like maybe he's a Democrat preacher. We're going to donate our chili, and you're going to sell it back to us. That sounds like socialism. Nancy Pelosi, be proud of you, Brother Parsons, I'm telling you. It's like government health care. You give us all your tax money, we'll give you free health care in exchange, right? Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Man, I'll tell you, I was getting a little bit nervous there. I was getting a little nervous that maybe he'd been sucked into the vortex. But Election Day's coming up, what's that? It's because of the iPhone. That's what it is. It's his Apple phone. He took another bite out of that apple, bless his heart. But Election Day is coming up, and this is for us in Indiana. I assume it is here as well, a municipal election. And often, they get overlooked. But in reality, the municipal elections, they affect our lives more on a daily basis than even national ones do. And so I would encourage you, if you're a resident of Florida, if you're a resident of Polk County and whatever city or town you live in, that you get involved and you vote and you be a part of it. If you don't vote, you don't have a right to gripe. And we all know how much Baptists like to gripe. So we need to make sure we vote. And it's been my privilege to get to be involved a little bit in the politics in the state of Indiana. And it has helped us these past couple years that Vice President Pence was our governor in Indiana. And I had an opportunity to meet him when he was running for governor, when he visited our church. And because of the connections there with our ministry, I've had the opportunity to visit the White House on two occasions since he's been in there. And stood across from his desk, just 3 feet from him in his office in the White House, and heard him share his salvation testimony with my own ears, how the Lord spoke to his heart when he was a young college student in southern Indiana, and he went to a youth Bible study. And got saved. And that has been the guiding force in his life. And I believe in observing him, it's been the guiding force in his political life as well. And I'm so thankful for him. And I'm so thankful for the testimony that he has had in Washington. I attended a Bible study in the White House this past March and opened the Bible and studied the Bible in the Vice President's office. It was really kind of a neat opportunity. And I believe we're living in a space of grace right now. And if we're not careful, we're going to let that slip away. And we as Christians got to do our part. I almost preached a sermon tonight, How to Make America Great Again, but I decided to go a different direction. But we do have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to our kids and to our grandkids to do our part in this world and in politics. And the Bible says that the Lord puts into office who he would have there, but he expects us as Christians to do our part and to play a role in that and stand up for what's right and do what's right. So I hope you will do that, whether you're a resident here in Florida or back home. Some of you may have already come down from another place at vote absentee, but vote. Vote once, vote twice, vote as often as you can, but vote. Well, let's get into the scripture tonight, because I could go on about that all evening, and I don't want to. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Again, I'm not a long-winded preacher. I want to give you a thought tonight and a challenge. I probably won't be as funny as I was on Sunday night, but I felt like this is what the Lord would have me to bring to you this evening. And this is a very special place to me, and I'll talk a little bit about why. in this sermon tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 5, we're just going to read one verse, but I want to give a little bit of history here. We're talking about Naaman, and all the kids are across the street in the gym tonight, but some of us will remember the little kid song we used to sing in junior church. There was a man I know, a leper white as snow, and he went to the river to dip himself, and his name was Naaman, and he took one dip, and he dippy dippy dip. You know how it goes. Come on. Some of you are out there, you're wanting to dip right now, I can tell. Brother Parsons, I could see you moving a little bit over there, brother. We know of Naaman. We know the story of Naaman. Well, this is a part of the story of Naaman that we often look over. We recognize that name as being the one who was healed of leprosy by dipping in the River Jordan. But this happens before that. And so let's look at 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. That's an interesting thought. Naaman was the captain of the host. He was the leader. He was the guy in charge of the host. I'm going to take this verse and I'm going to pick it apart piece by piece. So you be patient with me tonight and we'll get down to the end. I'll spend most of my time on this one verse, then we'll go to another passage of scripture in the New Testament. Naaman was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a leader of the hosts. He was the guy in charge. He was the one who, whether he worked his way up in position, or whether he was appointed to this position, or whether he inherited this position, we don't really know. But we do know this. Naaman was the captain of the host, and that was a pretty big deal. I had the opportunity a couple years ago to meet General James Mattis when he was the head commander of CENTCOM. And we know he was the Secretary of Defense here recently, and I think that's what he was. But anyhow, I had a chance to meet him and talk with him, and I had the opportunity a couple years ago to talk to John McCain for a few minutes, and I gave him a gospel track and had a minute just to speak with him and witness to him and tell him about the Lord, and he was at passing and I was passing, but these are great military leaders that we are aware of, that we know about. I went to the George Patton Museum of Leadership in Fort Knox, Kentucky this summer. My daughter Kinsey came along with me. Great military leaders who were generals. They were in charge of a host of people who were a fighting machine. They had the organization, they had the detail, they had the strength, they had the knowledge, they were willing, they had influence. Naaman was one of those guys. He would have been like the George Patton of that time. He was the captain of the hosts of the king of Syria. He was also a great man with his master. So this tells me that Naaman was not only a good leader, but he was also a good follower. He was a great man with his master. We got a bunch of college guys down here. We're studying to be leaders in the ministry. We're studying for the opportunity to stand behind a pulpit like Pastor Carter has for so many years, or stand in a classroom, or run a work on the mission field. We're studying to be leaders, but the secret to being a great leader is being a great follower. And that's a lot harder. And I'll be honest with you, I struggle greatly with that. The past 2 years of my life, I've spent a tremendous amount of time studying leadership. Because not only do I want to be a great leader to my followers, but I want to be a great follower to my leaders. And understanding the philosophies of leadership, and Naaman was not only a great leader, because he was the captain of the hosts, he had a bunch of people who followed him, but he was also a great man with his master, which tells me that he was a great follower. He was the kind of guy that when his master, when his boss, when his leader needed something, he knew he could count on Naaman to do it. He was the guy, he was the go-to guy. He was the one who would organize the fall festival when nobody else wanted to do it. He was the one who would be out there door knocking on Saturday in the hot Florida sun. Naaman was the one that his leader, that his boss knew he could count on when he needed something done. He was a great man with his master and honorable. Naaman was a man of great honor. He was trustworthy. You knew that if Naaman said it, you could write it down, it was the truth. You knew that if Naaman said, I'll get it done, that it was going to get done. You knew that if Naaman said, no, sir, that didn't happen that way, you could believe what he said. The Bible says Naaman was honorable. He was one deserving of honor because he lived a life worthy of that honor. He was the kind of guy who wouldn't take the credit, but he was the guy who would do the work. He was not somebody who you would have to wonder whether or not he was getting the job done. He was the kind of guy that you knew that if you said, Naaman, could you take care of this? Yes, sir, I got it. That it was going to get done. He was honorable. You could trust him. His master, the leader, the king, or whoever his direct person in charge of him was, could trust him with the assets of the country, could trust him with the men of the country, could trust him with equipment and finances and operations. And he was an honorable man. Naaman was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master and honorable because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria because of Naaman. An entire nation was delivered. This guy, this one man, lived a life of leadership, fellowship, honor. And because of those characteristics and because of the work ethic and the life ethics of Naaman, an entire nation was delivered. Because of him, because of Naaman, a whole group of people who probably didn't even know his name were delivered. The children, the grandchildren, the moms, the dads, the old people, and the young people reaped the benefits because of Naaman. Because he lived a life of impeccable leadership, devoted fellowship, and a life of unquestioned honor. Because by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. I looked up the definition of the word valor. It means great courage in the face of danger. He was a mighty man of valor. Naaman showed great courage in the face of danger. Have you ever been afraid? Scared? Felt like you were in danger? I was driving in Orlando yesterday. Now, I drive in Chicago all the time. In the winter, when it's cold. And Brother Burt, many are cold and few are frozen up there. But I drove in Orlando yesterday, and I was afraid. I felt like I was in danger. There are times in our lives that we just feel afraid. But valor is moving forward, having great courage in the face of danger, in the face of being afraid, moving forward. I remember when Christy and I had both, we had just graduated college. We hadn't even really started dating yet. But we went to a family reunion in Missouri with the Mashauds, and we went to this cliff. We were going to jump off this cliff into the water there at Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. And, you know, I wanted Christy to date me at this time. I'd asked her, and she said no. So I was trying to win her over, you know, and I was trying to be a mighty man of valor. So her cousin was there and took the whole family out on this boat, and he's like, I'll take you guys and we'll jump off the rock into the water. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. I can handle that. I'm not a great swimmer, but, you know, I had a life preserver on, and so I thought everything's going to be okay. And so we pull around the corner of the lake, and then there's this rock, which really turned out to be a mountain. And it was about 40 feet high. And so I'm like, I got this, no problem. And so Christy's like, let's do it. So we climbed up this thing, and I'm standing there on the edge. And I had been a firefighter for 2.5 years in Davenport. And so I'd been on ladders and tall buildings and all that kind of stuff, but I'd never stood there like this, looking down. And Christy was up there, and I was going to go first so I could get out of the water before she jumped so we wouldn't be mixed swimming. I'm serious. We're trying to be above board and do what's right. And so I was going to go first. And I was going to jump first and then swim to the boat and get out of the water into the boat before she jumped off. And so I'm standing there and I was scared. My brain was saying go. My feet were saying no. And Christy's behind me. She's like, come on, you can do it. And I'm like, yeah, I know I can. No, I can't. I'm trying to work myself up into jumping off of this 40-foot cliff that looks a lot higher from the top than it did from the bottom. And anybody ever done this, what I'm talking about right now? So don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. So I'm standing there on this cliff looking over, and I'm thinking this girl who I want to be my girlfriend is standing behind me, and I can't let her be braver than I am. And if I didn't go, she was going to push me. And so I'm standing there. I don't know. It probably was only a few seconds, but it seemed like several minutes. And I was scared. And finally, I just closed my eyes. I plugged my nose, and I jumped. And it seemed like I was falling forever. Down, 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 down. And I finally hit the water. I hit the water so hard. My hand flew off my nose. Water flung up my nose. And I'm not kidding. My eyelids filled with water, so they were out like this. And I kept going deeper and deeper and deeper. And I had on a life jacket. But I didn't think I was going to make it back up to the top. I kept going down, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm going to die down here. And I'm swimming, and I'm thrashing, and I'm trying to make it. And I finally made it to the top, and I'm gasping for air. And I swim back over to the boat, and I get out, and I fall down. And then Christy's like, I got this, boom, right off the edge. And I'm like, okay, she's better than me. And that's been the story of our marriage for 18 years. No, I'm just kidding. But sometimes you're afraid. But valor is great courage in the face of danger. When your life is on the line, when your future's on the line, moving forward for a cause that is greater than you in the face of danger. That was Naaman. Naaman was captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. Oh, and by the way, he was also a leper. Yeah. It's interesting to me. I love the way the Lord words things in Scripture. And I think that every word is exactly where it's supposed to be. Yeah. On purpose. Every jot, every tittle, exactly where God wanted it to be for you and for me in 2019. And I think that God knew what he was doing when he wrote this verse. Naaman had all of these great characteristics. Oh, and by the way, he was a leper. As if that's an afterthought. And I read that and I get convicted. Because, man, I was gonna go soul winning this week, but I had a headache. I was gonna, but my excuse outweighed my will. Naaman was a leper. But because of him, an entire nation was saved. I stand before you tonight as a not so young man anymore, who has no business being on a platform, standing behind a pulpit, opening God's word, and speaking to a group of people about anything. But because of so many people in this room didn't let their excuses stop them, because of you, Anthony Collins was delivered. Because of people like Mickey Carter, many of you in this room can say, I was delivered. As a 10-year-old boy, I sat in a junior church right down here, and a college student at Landmark Baptist College was preaching the junior church that day. His name was Vince Button. Many of you probably recognize that name. Brother Vince used to sit down here on the second row for years before we got the new pews, the second row pew was always broken. Because Brother Vince was a big man. And Brother Vince would get into it in the service. He had that whole pew shaking. His leg would be shaking. And when Brother Vince's leg shook, everything around him shook. He would get amen, and he'd be stomping his foot and waving his hand and waving his Bible. His poor wife, Danette, sitting next to him, he'd reach over, amen! He'd slap Danette, she'd fall over. Brother Vince was a hillbilly from West Virginia. Amen. Had every excuse in the world not to. But he did anyway. And he stood in the junior church down here one Sunday morning, and this little fifth grader, 10 years old, he preached that day, today is the day of salvation. Amen. Took me back into was a kitchen then, because the elementary school cafeteria was down there, and opened the Bible and showed me how I could be saved. Amen. Because of him, I was delivered. Amen. And I could give you story after story after story, and my wife could as well, because of people in this room who invested in us. We were delivered. So it's Wednesday night. It's the core church people for the most part here tonight. I want to encourage you. Some of us aren't as young as we used to be. I was talking to Brother Hill back there in the back before the service. Good to see my friend Brother Hill back there. And he said, I'm getting old. I said, oh no, old is all up here. He said, no, it's not. It's my whole body. My whole body's getting old. And that's happening. Whether we want it to or not. But you know what? We could let our old age stop us. Or we could forget about the excuses and do what we can. I heard on the radio station today, the news. What is the news? SRN? SRN news on the radio today? And I guess that must be a Christian organization that does that, because the reporter on there was talking about how he had a pastor on there, and he didn't say the pastor's name. If he did, I didn't catch it. But he was talking about how this pastor had been encouraging his congregation that even though they're getting older and they're retiring from their jobs, not to retire from investing in the next generation. Not to retire from doing God's work. Not to retire from serving God. And I thought about these verses, if I can find it, in the book of Luke here, that I just want to read to you very quickly from Luke chapter 13, verse number 6. He spake also this parable. Jesus is speaking here to his disciples, and he says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And the guy who was keeping the vineyard, the dresser, he answered and said unto him, verse 8, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And I thought about that passage when I heard that news report today, because here's a man who his boss was saying, this guy, and Jesus is speaking this as a parable, but this tree has stopped bearing fruit, it's stopped being productive, it's let the excuses take over, whether it's been planted for a long time, whether it's not getting enough water, whether it's too old or too tired or whatever the reason is, this fig tree has stopped bearing fruit, maybe it's too young, maybe it's just a punk college student who's come into here and they think they know everything, but he says, we're tired of it, we don't need to deal with that anymore, and in the dress of the garden said, hey, just give me a minute. Let me invest in it a little bit more. Let me take a little bit more time with him and see if I can build him up and strengthen him and grow him to be a productive person, to be a fruit-bearing tree. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us the rest of the story, but I was convicted because so many times in my life and in my ministry, I've crossed paths with young people who were just like me, punks, know-it-alls. And I just wanted to write them off. But I'm so glad that so many people in this room didn't do that to me. They didn't write me off when I was a punk. When I was a know-it-all high schooler, Brother Pitts, when I was a know-it-all Bible college student, they didn't write me off. They invested in me. And they said, hang on, let me love on him a little bit more. Let me put a little bit more of my time and effort and love into this guy and see if we can build him and grow him. Jesus told us when he called his first disciples in the book of Matthew, and I love this. To me, I tell people all the time, it's the greatest leadership verse in the Bible. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus didn't say, follow me and I will make you go fishing for men. He didn't say, follow me and I will make you do this. He said, follow me and I will invest in you. I will make you. And then he spent the rest of his ministry investing in those disciples. And I'm telling you tonight, there's some young people in this room that need investing in. There's some young people sitting right down here, Landmark Baptist Church, that need investing in. Landmark Baptist College students, there's some kids on your bus route and in your junior church and in your Sunday school classroom that need somebody to invest in them, that need somebody to love them, because they're not getting it during the week. And it's our job as Christians to do exactly what Jesus did for us. Love them when they are unlovely, just like Jesus loved me, and just like Jesus loved you. And stop worrying about the excuses. We all have excuses of why we can't, shouldn't. You don't know my past. You don't know my history. You don't know my family life. You don't know where I came from. You don't know what I've done. Naaman was a leper. And in his time, lepers were cast out, outside the town, outside the walls. They weren't allowed in. Naaman had every excuse in the world to quit. But because of him, an entire nation was delivered. Someday, when the history books are written, when they get down to your name, because of you, what will be the following line? It's all up to us. We have a great responsibility. We have a great need in this world for people like us in this room tonight to be the difference makers, to make a difference in somebody's life, to invest in people who we might think don't deserve investment. We need to look for ways to make a difference. Look for ways in this church to get involved. The fall festival's Friday night. Maybe you can't make chili. Hormel makes a great chili. Pop it in the pan, warm it up on the stove, and bring it on over for the college students. And then buy a bowl of it, even if you don't eat it. Just buy it. Look for ways to get involved. This week is Pony Express Sunday. I wish I was going to be here to see Brother Parsons riding a pony across this platform on Sunday. Anybody can pick up one of those flyers from the invitation station and give it to someone. You know, you don't even have to talk to them. You don't even have to say a word. You just take it and say, that's it. Just hand it to them. Anybody can do that. You don't even have to speak their language. You don't have to be able to carry on a conversation or sing a song or anything. All you got to do is take it out of your pocket and hand it to them. Our pastor says, you know who passes out tracts? Those who have them. And every single one of us can pick up one of those flyers over there. And in the next 4 days, between now and Sunday, just hand it to somebody. Give it to your neighbor. Every house in the village is going to get one probably. Give it to your coworker. Give it to the cashier at Publix. Give it to the lady at the gas station. Give it to the toll booth worker. Give it to the waitress at the restaurant. You don't even have to say anything. Just give it to them. Every one of us can look for ways to get involved. Every one of us can look for ways to make a difference in somebody's life. When I was a college student, Brother Marvin Smith passed away now, I'm sure, a long time ago. The first Sunday of every month, Brother Marvin Smith would find me. And he would give me a hug, and he would shake my hand, and he would put a $50 bill in it. Every Sunday for 4 years when he was in town. He was a snowbird, so he wasn't here all summer long, and I couldn't wait for it to get cold up north. I'm not kidding. Every single Sunday. He didn't, when he was well and he was here, he didn't miss a Sunday. Some of you folks in here tonight could do that for one of these young people down here. Look for ways to make a difference. Most of these college students aren't going to come knock on your door and say, what must I do to be a blessing to you? But you can go knock on their door and say, here, I want to be a blessing to you. Al and Betty Church used to sit back there. On Sunday afternoons, after my bus route on Sundays, my junior and senior year of college, after we'd moved from down here up to the building downtown, and I was living in the dorms across the street, on Sunday afternoons when Al and Betty were in town, they would bring lunch to my dorm room on Sunday afternoons after I got off my bus route. Pretty religiously throughout the whole winter season when they were here. Look for ways to be a blessing. Look for ways to make a difference. Love people. Invest in people. Be kind to people. Naaman had leprosy, and he didn't let that stop him. I don't know what you got tonight, but it's probably not leprosy. What will it take to stop you from making a difference in somebody's life? Thank you, preacher.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. We've had some good instruction from the Word of God tonight. A lot of excuses, probably not as big as Naaman would have had. A lot of little excuses stop folks today, stop them in the tracks. Blesses my heart to hear of church members that we never posted their name, never knew about it, never said anything about what they might be doing we didn't know about. Heaven's going to reveal a lot. Marvin Smith was a big encouragement to you there, Brother Anthony, to do that. That was a big thing for a college student. Big thing for somebody to bring you lunch during those days. Folks, opportunities to invest your life in others is all around us. All around us. And I believe the still small voice of God's Spirit often tells folks to do more than they probably do. But you never go wrong in investing your life in others. Brother Collins, here's a great picture of that. I appreciate him sharing with us again tonight. And I challenge you, as God's people, let's look for those opportunities and do them. Father, we thank you for the message tonight. May we take it home with us. May we not only remember it, but may we live it as you give us opportunity to. I thank you, Father, for Brother Collins, for Anthony and Christy, and how you're using them. Fathers, there's others like that also that we thank you for. It's because somebody back home, somebody at the home church or in the neighborhood did something special that made the difference in the way their lives turned out. We thank you for those people. We know you have a record of it in heaven. Again, Father, we thank you for the message tonight. May you bless it to our hearts. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated a moment. We're going to share something very similar to the message tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Parsons to help me out with this. I'm going to ask, I believe they're here. Doug, you and BJ, come on down front right here if you would. Just take the mic down there. And I'll let Brother Parsons kind of tell you. Doug and BJ have served with us here a long time. BJ works at the radio station, has been doing a good job up there. And bus ministry and all the things they've been involved in, they've been faithful. God has led them to move to go to serve on another preacher's ministry, another good preacher we know. And he called me on the phone and asked about y'all, of course. Let that be a lesson to the rest of you. Anyway, I said, there's one thing I can say real big, and this is about the most important thing I can say. They're faithful to the Lord. They're faithful. They've been faithful here all these years, and God's used them. And so, Brother Parsons, if you want to share with that, then I want to tell the folks what I want them to do.
Yes, sir. All right. Brother Doug, why don't you come and just make just tell them exactly what you're doing. And also, Brother Tim Jordan contacted us, and he came and how many of you know Brother Brian Gentry? And Brother Tim Jordan bought a building that was much like his. He bought a Jehovah Witness building up in New Smyrna Beach. They've been planting a church. It's about 3 years old. And he said he really needed a young man and really wanted a couple to come help him that would be working and really would work with him and help him in the ministry and do whatever he needed, whatever he was asked to do. And so I recommended Brother Doug and JB, and they went up. And again, they saw the place. But you go ahead and tell them, Brother, what they asked you to do.
Absolutely. Just real quick, the Lord was working in our hearts when we were in college here, or when I was in college here, just shortly after I got saved the last Sunday in July of this year. And I knew the Lord was preparing us to go somewhere. And it was one of those things that this is our home. And I didn't want to leave here, but I knew the Lord was working. I knew the Lord was directing. And so we got in contact over there, and we were there for 4 weeks. We promised them 4 weeks, and just to kind of see over there, I believe, if the Lord is going to work in your heart, you have to see the place physically. And so eye affects your heart, and so that's where we're trying to lean towards over there. And really just everything worked out. The church over there is a lot like Landmark, a lot like Pastor Carter, and the ministries here. They're solid on the King James. They take a stand for what's right. They believe in separation. They believe in all the things that we learned here at the college. And you know, just a blessing the Lord brought us over there. And really, Pastor Jordan wants me to basically build the youth department up from the bus all the way to the teens. And so he's officially going to have me be the youth director. So I'll be heavily involved with a lot of the other churches, going to the youth rallies, and really more involved in the bus ministry. And so that's really where we're at for right now. Whatever Pastor Jordan doesn't want to do, he's basically going to have me do, kind of be like a second man over there. And so I just want to take the opportunity to just thank you, church, for everything, what you mean to my wife and I and to my daughter. This is our home, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord does, not only in our lives over there, but also in the lives of you folks here as well. And my biggest prayer is that we can be a blessing to the church over there as much as you guys have been a blessing to us. And so I just want to thank you folks so much for that, and thank you for the opportunity for allowing us to serve here in the ministry. Thank you for investing in the college, because if it wasn't for your sacrificial giving and your love and support for the college students, for the next generation, we would not be here today. And I thank you so much for that, and just want to encourage you, continue being faithful. Faithful to Pastor Carter, continue being faithful to Landmark, faithful to the college, because there's another group of college students coming up, and they need your love and support just as much as the rest of us did. So thank you for that time.
All right, Doug, thank you much. Here's what I want to do tonight. Of course, they're moving over there. They've got to have some needs of moving. They have some needs of where they're going to be renting the place and all this. And I'm going to give you a chance tonight to do what Brother Anthony was preaching, invest in them a little bit. So let's stand. I'm going to ask the ushers, dump out the offering plates, get ready to pass them again very quickly. And folks, whatever you can give tonight will help this couple out as they're in the expense of moving and trying to get everything done. Ushers, just come on. No ceremony tonight. Just get the offering. That's what counts. Right now, will you do that? Come on, okay. Whatever you can do, cash, check, or if later on you want to write them a check and you can't tonight, put the name on it and what it's for, and we'll get it to them one way or the other. Okay, guys, come on. Pick that up. They're too old to pick it up. Okay. All right, just pass the plate. And then I want you to do this tonight. I want you to go by and shake hands with Doug and BJ and let them know you're going to be praying for them. This is a big change in their lives. And they got the young daughter, and they got the big challenge. And many of us remember, and I'm sure Brother Collins remembers, it's a big step when you leave home and home church and people that you know, and you go and you say, I know God's in this, but the devil's going to fight them some. I'll guarantee you that. And so let them know that we'll hold the ropes of prayer back here also, okay? All right, Hector, where you at? Over there. I don't know what you'd be doing over there. Choir practice tonight. We got to get ready for Sunday. All right, has the plates been by? All right. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody in choir. You come right on up. Amen.